Hello and welcome to the Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we'll be hearing from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. This week we're once again putting art in the frame as we browse the 2018 Art Basel and UBS Global Art Market Report, which is being released this week to coincide with Art Basel Miami, which gets underway on Thursday. As with previous iterations of the report, and the fair indeed, we'll chat to its author to learn more about the main themes, and we'll catch up once again with the head of the UBS art collection. We'll hear from her about why Miami is so important, and ask her to tell us more about an artist whose work features extensively in the UBS collection, and with whom the bank has partnered at the fair to create a unique new work for the UBS lounge. That artist, Sarah Morris, we'll also be on the programme to talk more about her practice and to reflect on her long partnership with UBS that includes a forthcoming reimagining of a monumental wall painting originally commissioned for a space in Zurich for the bank's New York City headquarters. Let's start with Claire McAndrew, author of the Art Basel and UBS Art Market Report, to talk about the US market finding specifically. But Claire, perhaps before we come to that, why does the Art Market Report continue to throw up such interesting findings across the board? Remind us perhaps, Claire, why the report matters.
The report's important. It's the only, I suppose, it's the only macro-level industry-wide report. And I mean, it's a $64 billion, very global art market, so it's easy to see why it's kind of sparked the interest of the wider investment community as well. So it's not just the art trade that it, is interested in these kind of statistics. It's the wider financial and investment and economists and the like that are also quite interested in seeing what size this market is and how it functions. And I think it's been very important for the art trade as well. You know, when they're lobbying government or looking at the regulatory impact of the market or anything like that, it's important to know what size it is and how it's divided.
Let's look at some headlines here, Claire McAndrew. If we sort of track trends over the last 2, 3, 4 years, it's been quite interesting to watch the US, which is the key player here, no doubt. But it's strange. It's sort of lost ground before. It certainly looks to have regained that. Can you paint a bit of a picture of the US moves in particular for us?
Sure. I mean, the US has been the leading market really since the kind of 1960s. The market used to be based in Paris, and the art market kind of followed where the money was going. But also, it tends to move into the most comfortable regulatory home as well. So Paris at that time introduced a lot of laws and regulations that kind of deterred transactions in the art market. So things kind of gradually shifted. And this is actually still very true today. The U.S. has about 42% of the global sales by value. And for sure, it has where a lot of high net worth collectors are based. But to be honest, a lot of the buying and selling that goes on in New York and in the US in general is from high net worth collectors all over the world. So it's a very easy place to transact, but it also is regulated enough that it's a very safe place to transact. And this is a kind of a key thing going forward. These are going to be the most important centers of the art trade, are the countries that get that balance right, being, you know, not over-regulated, but also being protected on the consumer side as well.
Claire, let's reflect on the US dominance across indices, metrics, whether that's the leading collectors, the top 200 globally are there, the ultra high end part of the market. The US leads still in all of these. Is that under threat, I wonder? We've previously talked about, I don't know, the Chinese auction market. How do things shape up? The US, is it set fair to continue its dominance?
Yeah, I think if you break it up sort of in the middle market, China takes a much greater share, particularly in the auction sector. But when you go to the very high end, and this is the very high end influences the global figures that I create a lot, because it's kind of a very polarized marketplace where a lot of the value is in that high end, the US is still really dominant. And I think in some ways it's becoming more that way. I think if you've got the most high prices at the moment are in contemporary art, and if you've got a highly priced contemporary artwork to sell, the tendency is to sell it from wherever you are. Both vendors and buyers gravitate towards the US because it is not only has a kind of a critical mass of works to attract buyers from all around the world, but as I said previously, it's also a good place to kind of to transact in that high end of the market.
On the transactional side, Claire, Key art fairs play an important role here. We're sat talking only a few days ahead of Art Basel Miami Beach, of course, which kicks off on the 6th of December. Can you tell us a bit about those fairs, Claire, and how that sort of focuses the attention of, you know, gallerists, collectors, all sorts of different stakeholders? Because it's certainly interesting if you look at, again, where major art fairs are actually taking place. The US is one of the key ones. What, around a third of those key art fairs over the last 10, 15 years taking place there? Can you tell us about the role, maybe sort of economically a bit, that these fairs play?
Sure. I mean, now it's amazing that it's been an event-driven market for the last kind of decade, increasingly so. But if you look at the share of sales that dealers are making through art fairs, it's nearly as much as the galleries. 46% of the sales by value that dealers made last year was through fairs. And a lot of these fairs are, again, consolidating around major hubs. And again, it's based on places that are can attract visitors and that they're easy places to transact. And the U.S. kind of scores very highly on all of those factors. And it's still a huge center for art fairs, both in New York and Miami and in other regional fairs in Chicago and other cities. So it's a huge hub for art fairs.
Claire McAndrew. Now, Claire was talking about art fairs and Art Basel Miami Beach specifically. Let's turn our attention to that now. Mary Rizel is global head of the UBS Art Collection, and she's shortly heading to Miami for the fair. Mary, let's start by talking about Art Basel Miami Beach. Such anticipation all around the globe. Tell us why, we're only days away, it's such an important hub for art, for the art market, for UBS as well. Tell us why everything comes together each year in December in such a compelling way at Miami. What is it? I don't know. Is it something in the air, something in the water almost?
Well, it's always nice to go to Miami at this time of year. I've been going since the very beginning, and it's been interesting to watch how the fair changes, what the energy is. And for us at UBS, at least for the art collection, this is a project that we work on for many months. We've been working on this for a good half a year, so we're in the home stretch now. Most of the details are taken care of, and it's always just so exciting to see our work come up on the walls because it's never quite how you imagine, and there's always little changes you make, but there's nothing like that feeling of finishing the install and being ready to open the show.
And Mary, why the focus on Sarah Morris specifically? She has several dozen pieces, I think, in the UBS collection. Obviously, her work is so striking, it's so arresting. But why did you zero in on her to be at the front and center of proceedings?
Well, the idea kind of grew out of another project that we're working on with Sarah, which is a recreation, a reiteration of a wall painting that she had done for us in Zurich in 2001 that we are going to realize here in New York next year. So we've been working with Sarah on that and thinking about it, and then we thought, oh, you know, we have so much work by Sarah in our collection. Let's take it a step further and try to showcase this in Miami. And as you say, her work is so compelling and is so powerful that we thought it would work very well in Miami as well.
Well, we'll come to that New York piece in a moment, but can you just tell us a little bit about what people can expect in Miami then? What are we going to be seeing? What are we going to be experiencing there?
Well, the centerpiece of our display in Miami is going to be a custom wall covering, a wallpaper that Sarah has designed exclusively for us for the space. And to complement that, we are going to have a number of works from the collection by Sarah. We have a total of 37 works, individual pieces by Sarah in the collection. That includes four print series. So we'll be taking down three of our major paintings by Sarah and two print series sets. We're also going to be showing a couple works by Frank Stella, two wall sculptures by Frank Stella, and a monumental piece by Howard Hodgkin. Both Stella and Hodgkin will also be presented in our lobby as permanent pieces when it opens in 2019.
So a hugely exciting roster, Mary, but I did want to pick up on this point about Sarah Morris and this piece for New York. And as you've explained already, this was out of an original commission from early this century in Zurich. And this, am I right? So the office was deconstructed and the work as was lost. But of course, the work continues to vest in the collection. And this idea came up to repurpose it, reimagine it. Can I ask, was that a truly collaborative sort of process between yourselves and Sarah? And how much were you preoccupied by this idea of how different any given piece is when it changes, not just location, but in this case, you know, it moves across continents?
Right. Well, one of the great legacies of the UBS art collection, when you look back, is a series of site-specific commissions that were done in the 80s through the 90s, up through the turn of the century. And Sarah's work from 2001 was her first public commission that she did, and it was in Zurich. I got to see this work my second week on the job back in 2015, and it was such a gorgeous work. And at that time, I learned that it was going to be destroyed. So it was something that, you know, was always in the back of the mind. And how can we see this, another iteration of this work somewhere? And then this lobby project came up, and I just happened to run into Sarah and had this conversation with her. And the kind of poetry of this is that one of our early acquisitions by Sarah is the painting Midtown Payne Webber with neon from 1998, and that is an actual painting of our building. And so, in a sense, this wall painting that Sarah had done in Zurich, coming to New York, brings it full circle back where this painting, the other painting, our first acquisition by Sarah, was realized. And we don't know exactly how it's going to look yet, but it definitely will look different, but it will resonate with the earlier work for sure.
Well, let's hear from Sarah Morris about that resonance, about this partnership with UBS, and how exciting the most recent developments are. Sarah's the artist UBS is presenting at Art Basel Miami Beach, and she takes up the story here. Here she goes back to the beginning and tells us about the origin story of the Midtown series. One of the works that will be presented in the lounge, Midtown Payne Webber, was acquired by the UBS collection in 1998. As we've heard, the first Morris artwork to be added. Here's Sarah.
So the Midtown series started from my studio, basically my context, of course. My studio in the early mid-90s was in Times Square. And when I say Times Square, it was like right on 42nd Street, right between 7th and 8th Avenue. And it was in a building that was not to be demolished, but the whole area had been part of Giuliani's cleanup of the pornography industry. So basically all of those buildings got, you know, they didn't know what to do with them. So one of the buildings became an artist's building, and it was supposedly Andy Warhol's favorite building, and they filmed Slaves of New York in there. And I had a studio on the fourth floor there, and I had it for several years, and it was extremely low rent, and it was right there. Like, you know, you opened the windows, you heard everybody with the microphones. It was like a very different New York, yeah? They had not sanitized it yet. And so, you know, when I would go to the studio, and when I would leave the studio, I was spending a lot of time in Times Square, either moving through it or, you know, some of the artists in the building, we would go to bars after the building shut at night. And I was always very, it just seemed like an amazing schism of New York, the Sixth Avenue canyon of all of the mega corporations versus the actual life I was living, which was in the art world. I was just starting out. I was in the Whitney Museum Independent Study Program. I was working for Jeff Koons in the early 90s, helping him before he had a studio. So I was, I guess I was sort of repulsed and attracted to these buildings, and they were literally our context.
Finally on the program, let's return to Claire McAndrew. Claire, I wonder, talking about the report, we started the program looking at its findings. Are you refining your own ability, not just to read, to understand the market, but maybe also to some extent to perhaps sort of predict it? Do the metrics measure up to your expectations?
People are always asking me to kind of forecast things, and it's one marketplace where I still, even at this stage, having worked so long doing these studies, I still am very nervous about kind of knowing what's going to happen until so much happens in the second half of the year, especially. And to be honest, I'm refining and fine-tuning all the time, but, you know, it's because the market itself is getting more complicated. So I used to just be able to have dealers and auction sales, and that was it. And if you could get a good grasp of those, you'd know what was going on. But now there's so many different agents. There's online sales. There's a lot of different pieces to the pie. So the spread of selling and buying is so much more diverse than it was when I started kind of 10 or 15 years ago doing these studies. So it's getting refined all the time, but that's because it's getting more complicated as well.
Claire, a thought on the future and perhaps the potential for recalibration of the art market. We talked about, I don't know, the pivot to Asia. That's been a theme for a few years as an example. Can you give us an overview about that?
I think a lot of people are looking towards Asia, and obviously this is where the wealth is increasingly being centered. Now there's more high net worth individuals and more high net worth wealth in the Asia Pacific region than there is in North America. But it takes more than that. You know, it's not just wealth, it's the cultural infrastructures and the expertise and things like that the older markets in Europe and the US have built up historically, as well as this regulatory factor. So it's kind of a three-pronged factor of how global hubs are developed. You can't just have any one. Having a lot of money is a necessary condition for having an art market, but it's not a sufficient one. So I think this is where the US does very well. It kind of scores well on all three of those factors.
And that's Claire McAndrew bringing us to the end of this 217th edition of The Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance each week here on Monocle 24. You can listen again and find out more at monocle.com or catch up via your preferred platform. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.